Cross purposes. How blessed the one that can watch the dried brook and trust in God's unfailing faithfulness. The one that holds an empty cruse of oil and yet believes in God's provision. The one that stands by the Red Sea's raging waters and expects his deliverance, and the one whose barren womb can spring forth with life by faith, the one who amid the flooding tsunamis of life can simply rest in his love. How blessed the one that is not living at crossed purposes with the purpose of God. God uses all circumstances, including years of carnality, to perfect his saints. Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. But he says to us, through the Apostle Paul, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore I will boast all the more gladly of my weakness, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me." The Lord was led to the wilderness immediately after the glories of his baptism, after the wonderful experience of the Holy Spirit descending on the beloved Son. Then immediately followed the terrible experience of the wilderness testings. And spiritual privileges do not exempt us from fiery trials. It is often at the height of the mountain top that the vast wilderness looms before. Too frequently, a period of blessedness transforms into a long season of wretchedness. Following a time of tender intimacy and gracious communion with God, a time that has been spent hidden behind the closed portals of love, the door is flung open to the enemy's most fiery trials and evil suggestions. What is it that ignites Satan's wrath against a believer? It is not the lukewarm believers who have responded to the entreaties of the world. It is not the carnal Christians that have been enticed back into fleshly pursuits. No, they have already been seduced by the world and lured by Satan's wiles. No, it is those that seek to be faithfully obedient to the point of death. They are the ones who are the butt of his vicious and prolonged attacks. Blessed is the man who endures Satan's temptations. Blessed is the man who endures God's testings. For the temptations of Satan are used by God in his child training. So blessed is the man who endures temptations. For when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love him. An old writer wrote these wise words: "All the while our Saviour worked in his Father's shop and meddled only with carpentry tools, the devil troubled him not. Now that he has entered more publicly upon his mediatorship, the tempter pierces his tender soul with many sorrows by solicitations to sin." And so it is with us. As long as we move in the quiet backwaters, he doesn't trouble himself with us. Oh, but as we rise to new consecration and service, as we seek to be holy, for I am holy, Satan pounces on his prey, seeking our destruction. So be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Oh, remember, as you face your own fiery trials, new power came to the Lord through his conflicts. His life was developed and honed and made perfect through suffering. We read that he was a son, and yet he learned obedience by the things which he suffered. It is not God that places temptation in the lives of believers, but the enemy. God cannot be tempted with evil, neither does he tempt any man. Oh, but God permits the tempter's trials to beat us sorely, as he did with his own beloved Son. For Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. The Lord's trials were needful to demonstrate the qualities of the second Adam. Being made perfect, he became the source of eternal salvation to all who obey him. Oh, Christ's testings were designed so that he, as our high priest, could empathize and succor. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted like as we are, and yet without sin. Sometimes his temptations came through his earthly relatives, though oft times his trials came through the ones he loved the best. "Get thee behind me, Satan," he cried to his dearly beloved Peter. And yet, to this same staunch and dedicated servant, he gave his reassurances. "And Satan has desired to sift you as wheat, but I have prayed for you, that your faith fails not." Assaults were indeed made on our Lord's physical needs through the tauntings. "If you're the Son of God, turn these stones into bread and satiate your hunger." Oh, but the Lord had nourishment that the tempter could never understand. "My food is to do the will of him who sent me, and to finish his work." But assault after assault was made upon his faith and his obedience, sometimes through the direct taunts and attacks of the tempter, sometimes subtle suggestions of family and dearly loved friends, to leave his path of total dependence on the Father. Sometimes through the persistent criticisms and accusations of religious leaders, whose hearts were set to discredit and denounce him. Well, we all face some of the most trying and testing days ahead as the world crashes. Areas of testing that once seemed remote will increasingly knock on your door. Satan knows his time is short and seems to be multiplying his attacks on the saints. He seeks, through whatever means, to shipwreck the faith of true believers. He searches out areas of greatest vulnerabilities and chips away in his vile manner. But the Lord continues to pray for all his disciples. "I have prayed for you, that your faith should not fail." Let us keep the faith, and not waver in our trust in the great and mighty God. Let us run the race set before us with patient endurance, looking to Jesus. God's plans and purposes for humanity are continuing to be played out. God is not mocked, and his purpose for your life will reach its goal. And this is the will, the purpose of God, even your sanctification. For this is the will of God concerning you, that in everything give thanks. This is the purpose of God, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent.